You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, here we are tonight in the last hours of 2018. Thinking back over this last year, let us acknowledge some of the blessings that God has given us and let us give him thanks. For example, we are still alive. Thanks be to God. We have decent health. Thanks be to God. We have more than we need. Thanks be to God. Our sins are forgiven through Jesus. A big thanks be to God. And God has a good plan for each one of us in 2019. So again, thanks be to God. Now, knowing we have been blessed this year and rejoicing now that our sins are forgiven, let us be optimistic as we step into 2019. Do any of us know what is going to happen in our lives, in our nation, in the world? We don't. But we know the one who has all of it in his hands. That's all we need to know. So we are blessed to have that relationship with the Almighty God. Tonight we are in the Gospel of Luke. Before we get to chapter 13, I want to skim over some of the things that we find in chapter 12. So Jesus touched on a lot of important topics here, and this is a summary. Jesus said, in chapter 12, he said, "Don't be a hypocrite." In other words, don't pretend to be someone you are not. Instead, let everyone see who you really are. Jesus also said, "Don't fear people. Instead, fear the Almighty God." Why? Because he is the one who has authority to cast people into hell. Jesus also said, "Don't go through life and be ashamed of me. Instead, acknowledge to others that you know me." Jesus also said, "Don't love the riches of this world. Instead, be rich in your relationship with God." Jesus also said, "Don't be anxious. Instead, trust in the Lord, knowing that he is aware of your needs and he will provide for you what you need." Not always what we want, but at least what we need, and probably much more. Jesus said, "Don't become complacent. Instead, remain ever ready for my return." Jesus said, "Don't expect peace on earth. Instead, realize that I came to make a division between believers and non-believers." So when they're divided, don't be surprised. We're going to be divided forever and ever. And he came to show the division now so that those who don't yet know him would realize they don't know him and would receive him now before it is too late. Jesus said, "Don't focus on temporary things." In other words, don't major in the minors. Instead, pay attention to eternal things. One final thing he taught in chapter 12, he said, "Don't be stubborn. Instead, as it's better to settle with an earthly accuser before he takes you before a judge," so Jesus is saying it's better to repent before you arrive at the final judgment. So all kinds of good advice there in Luke chapter 12. I gave you some highlights of it. You can read it on your own. Now as we get into chapter 13 of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus right away in the chapter, he is told about two real tragic events where this group of people died tragically, this other group of people died tragically. So people are saying to Jesus, "Wow, they must have been really horrible sinners to have died in those particular tragic ways." Did Jesus agree? He didn't. He said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So we have to be careful in life, don't we? Some people seem to be so blessed by God. Maybe they have looks. Maybe they have money. Maybe they have power, whatever it might be. And some people who have those things, they might say, wow, I must be a great person. God is really smiling down upon me. I have all that stuff because God has given it. And that must mean not only am I okay here on planet Earth, but I'm going to be okay with God forever and ever. God wants us to know that is not true. He wants us to know that all have fallen into sin, and without repentance, all will be lost forever and ever. As we get into tonight's text, we're going to focus on our gospel reading tonight. So Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, a real short text that we have. And we're going to focus here on the topic of repentance. Repentance is a common word that we hear in the church, and even pastors use it all the time, but I think it's something that can be easily misunderstood by a lot of people. So we're going to touch on it tonight in some different ways, and I hope it's understandable for all of us. In this first section of the sermon, we're going to focus here on this reality that God had expected the people of Jerusalem to repent. So in connection with the ministry of John, the ministry of Jesus, God expected a lot of people to repent. The Bible says that Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree, having been planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. So what was Jesus doing there? He's telling a simple story that everyone could understand, everyone could relate to, and he told the story in order to make a spiritual, or we could say an eternal, point. Looking at the parable there, we understand the man to be God, the fig tree to be Jerusalem, the vineyard to be the entire nation of Israel, and then the fruit to be repentance. You have to keep those things in mind as we take a look at it in order to understand what the spiritual significance of it is. The question here now is, what is repentance? What is repentance? I want to give you two answers that were given by Lenski, a Lutheran Bible commentator. He wrote, first of all, repentance is that religious change of heart which turns from sin and guilt to cleansing and forgiveness by God's grace. So everyone is in sin and guilt. No one could get out of that on their own, but by the grace of God, though, he is at work by his Spirit through his word in order to turn people to cleansing and forgiveness. So with what I read there, it's not talking about living a new life. It's talking about being dead in our sins, God getting a hold of us and turning us in such a way that now he has washed us clean. He has forgiven our sins. That is repentance. Now, there are things that come from repentance, which would be showing love to others and all kinds of different things. But repentance itself, though, is turning from sin and death to forgiveness and life. And God is the one who has to make that turn. Lenski also noted that repentance looks both backward toward the regretted sin and forward toward the accepted pardon. So think about being in the middle. Here we are right at the end of 2018. So if you look back upon the sin, God wants us to do that with regret, and then we look forward knowing that in Christ we have God's forgiveness, and knowing that, we can then step into 2019 in a proper way. So what was God looking for then in Jerusalem? I've already stated it, but I think he wanted the people to realize that they had a misplaced trust regarding their salvation. So they were trusting in themselves for the most part. They were trusting in their religious practices of going to the temple, offering the sacrifices. They were trusting in the fact that they hadn't done anything real wrong, if you will. So that's where they were trusting. But he wanted them to know that that could never save them. By no means could any of that ever make them righteous or perfect in God's sight. So he was calling them to trust in him as their only Savior. So when we think back on 2018 then for a moment, may God help us to look back, to admit that yes, we have fallen into sin. May God help us to regret that sin. And may God help us to know that our sin, well, two things. Our sin is never pleasing to Him, and our sin is never beneficial to us. Remember how we talked just a couple days ago? Wait, today's Monday. Just yesterday on Sunday, how we talked at the end, how when Jesus grew up, no sin, so none of the negative consequences of sin in His life. What a great blessing. God wants us to know that with our sins have come various negative consequences. And then, again, looking forward to the new year, He wants us to do so with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to rejoice that our sins are forgiven. He wants us to rejoice that we have passed over the eternal punishment, that Jesus took it for us, that that is not coming for us. And then He wants us to know that we are pardoned. We are forgiven. We have been washed clean in the sight of God, and He has done it not because we are good people. He has done it all because of who He is and because He chose to take that action upon us, and we did not deserve it and we could not earn it, but He did it, and He wants us to know it, and He wants us to rejoice. In the second part here, Jesus is reminding us that God's grace has a time limit. So grace is wonderful, but it doesn't just go on and on forever and ever. Jesus continued in verse 7, and He said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" So regarding the 3 years of seeking the fruit, I encourage you to think about it this way. Those years are referring to the ministry of John the Baptizer. So God raised him up. He was the one preparing the way for the Christ. So he's been doing that ministry now for 3 years. And then, thinking about the powerful ministries of John, and then followed by the ministry of Jesus, which is going on right now, God expected that people would hear the truth. He expected many of them to repent. But what happened, though, if you look in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. So such a sad thing. We think about Adam and Eve falling. God continued to love them. God made the promise. People waited for 4,000 years. The Savior shows up. And for the most part, they reject Him. What a sad thing. Do we see much different in our world today? Not really. Very similar, I think. And then regarding the opportunity to repent. So over in Isaiah 55, it says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." What's being implied there? It's being implied that a time will come when He will not be able to be found. And it's implying that though He is near now, a time is coming when He will be very, very far away. So now is the golden opportunity, or like it says in 1 Corinthians 6, it says that today is the day of salvation, implying that tomorrow could be too late. In the final part here, let's know for certain that God does want everyone to be saved. That is His desire. Continuing in our text here, the final two verses, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 13 of Luke, it says, "And He answered," this is the vine dresser talking to the owner now, "and He answered, 'Sir, let it alone this year also,'" talking about this tree bearing no fruit, "'let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." Let me conclude the sermon tonight by challenging you to think about these particular statements made by Lenski in this section of his commentary. He wrote, "We should not erase the wrath by the mercy, nor lose sight of the mercy because of the wrath." Think about that for a moment. So we should not erase the wrath by the mercy. So what do some people do? They're like, oh, God will be merciful. Don't worry. He won't bring his wrath upon us. But see, that's not true, though. God is very, very merciful. That's wonderful. But his wrath still will come, and that will be horrible. So we shouldn't allow the reality of the mercy to cancel out the wrath. But at the same time, though, we shouldn't think, oh, his wrath is going to be so horrible, there's no way he could ever be merciful. That's not true either. So he is very, very merciful. But for those people who reject his mercy, they will end up falling under his wrath. So he wants us to know that both remain true at the same time. Another comment here by Lenski, he wrote, Jesus uses every means of grace. He goes at his work hopefully, not half-heartedly, pessimistically, thinking that there is no use. In other words, what he's saying there, that God truly wants all to be saved. It is a mystery, though, isn't it? Because we say that for all who are ultimately saved, it's all the work of God. And the Bible does teach that God wants all to be saved. So logically, we would say that because God wants it and because God does it, we would say that all are saved. But yet we know from the Bible that is certainly not true. Actually, it talks about the few being saved and the many being lost. So why is it that some are saved and not others? We can come up with different ideas, but ultimately, though, if we really stick carefully with the Bible, we cannot answer that question. Because logically, again, because God wants it, because God does it, it would be true for all, but it's not. So what we end up saying is that all who are ultimately saved, it's all the work of God. He gets all the credit. For all who are ultimately not saved, it's all their own fault for so persistently rejecting God's work in their lives. And then let her see here, another quote from Lenski. It is a fact that judgment is often preceded by an intensification of grace. So what is grace again? Grace is God loving us even though we don't deserve it. So somebody could assess the situation and say, wow, my life is pretty good, and God is really showering his love on me. And that must mean that not only am I okay now, but I'm okay forever and ever. So what they're doing is they're misinterpreting the grace of God. Another thing that comes to mind there, when we think about God blessing all people, well, how does the Bible put it? God opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. So for all the people, for all the animals, God is providing what they need. So some people might say, oh, God's providing for me now, so that means God will just keep providing for me forever and ever. But see, right now, though, is different than forever and ever. God is providing for all the people now because he wants people to see how much he loves them. And he wants those people to be thankful for those blessings, and he wants those people to trust in him. But once the end of time comes, there's no reason anymore for God to provide for them, to be kind to them, because there will be no opportunity any longer for them to be with God forever. So people who are going through life and they have all these blessings and everything is fine, but they're without Jesus Christ, what they'll find out is that as soon as they stop living, they will be in a horrible situation forever and ever, and there will be no second chances. There will be no opportunity for them. So God wants us to see now how he's loving us and it's wonderful, how in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. And he wants us to care about people, too, who somehow think they're okay and they're not, so that they might see the light and they might also receive God's blessings. Finally, the last comment here, it says, man may nullify every effort of God's liberating, saving power and willfully cast it from him for good. Why do we say that? You know how it says there in Philippians, it says that when Christ comes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What we have to think about is that when God is working through means, as he's working now. So we say the Bible is a means of grace. So here is God, and he's working through the Bible upon people. So when God works through means, we say that God is resistible. So God can be trying to work upon us through the Word, and we can resist that. We can say, no, God, get out of here. I don't want that. And God permits that. But when Jesus comes in the glory of the holy angels, then he won't be working through means. He will be there directly, and that is when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and no one will be able to resist him. So it's so important that people don't think, oh, things are like this now, and they're just going to continue on right through this life and beyond, because that's not true. Things are very unique in this life. And God wants us to see how they're a certain way now, but they're going to be different at a time to come. And how do we know that? The way we know that is through the Bible. God has told us all those things right here. So let's dig into the Word of God. Let's make that our New Year's resolution, to get into the Bible, to read it, to think about it, to pray about it, to put it into practice in our lives, to share it with others. That would be really the most wonderful way to get into 2019 and continue right on through the year, because what's going to happen is God will use his word to bless us, and then what will happen is he will use us then to be a blessing to others. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for making us sorry for our sins and giving us faith in Jesus as our only Savior. Please grant us a 2019 that is good for us, that is honoring to you, and that is a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.